Sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. He said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered him, "Command that these two sons of mine sit, one at your right, the other at your left, in your kingdom." Jesus said in reply, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice I'm about to drink?" They replied to him, "We can." He replied, "My chalice you will indeed drink, but to sit at my right and my left, this is not mine to give, but it's for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the ten heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus summoned them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. It shall not be this way with you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's feast of St. James brings much of the Christian world to Spain. I had spiritual direction a couple nights ago with a lay spiritual directee who just did the Camino. And she was thrilled, she was unsuspecting that she would develop such a fervent devotion to St. James all the way along the 478-mile trek. We know what the real way of St. James is. The way of St. James is the way of following the Lord, just as James did when Jesus called him from his fishing boats in Capernaum, just as St. James did along the roads Galilee and Judea and even the pagan territories. Just as St. James did with his brother John and Peter those four times when Jesus took them aside from among the apostles to heal Peter's mother-in-law, to cure and raise from the dead the daughter of Jairus, up the Mount of Transfiguration and into the Garden of Gethsemane. To follow the way of St. James is to follow in his footsteps, following the Lord all the way. Today's gospel, we see how the Lord wants us to follow. He wants us to follow in a total self-gift of ourselves, to serve others, to lay down our lives for others with love so that they might have life and have it to the full. This whole scene focuses on how the Lord wants to transform our ambitions. He absolutely, 150% wants us to be ambitious, but not for ourselves, but for his kingdom, for souls. So that's why when the mother of John and James approaches Jesus, obviously on their behalf, because they were too chicken to do so on their own, and pathetically asks to have the two top seats in his messianic administration, Jesus doesn't castigate. Jesus, in fact, focuses. He turns to them and says, "Can you drink the chalice that I'm about to drink?" That chalice of suffering that the suffering servant psalms in the book of Isaiah mention. That chalice that we would see Jesus himself be given by the angel in the garden. That fourth cup that would be poured out to the dregs on Calvary. Can you drink of the chalice of self-giving love that I am about to drink? And the Boanerges brothers, the sons of Zebedee, without missing a beat, said, "Yes, we can." It's a beautiful response. And Jesus said that they would, in fact, do so. But then he used it as a teaching lesson when the other 10 got indignant at James and John. Not because they were embarrassed that they were ambitious, only that they were ambitious for the spots that they themselves coveted. So Jesus said to all of them that his desire for us is to drink that chalice. He said, among the leaders of the world, they seek to be served. But it shall not be that way among you. The way that you will exercise your authority, he says, is by becoming the servant and the slave of all, giving your life to ransom others from slavery and death. That's his kingdom. And Jesus asks each of us just as much as he asked James and John, can you drink the chalice that I'm about to drink? He wants us heroically, even ambitiously, and faithfully to say, with your help, Lord, yes, I can. Today, as I'm sure you know, we celebrate the 50th anniversary of Humanity Day. And this theme is so relevant to the culture that Pope Paul VI was trying to form and the anti-culture that Paul VI was trying to remedy. Contraceptive culture is based on selfishness. It's based on stinginess. The culture of Christian love and marriage is based on drinking the chalice of the Lord. It's based on giving of oneself to the other, holding nothing back. It's about receiving the other's gift. In paragraph 9 of Humanae Vitae, soon to be St. Paul VI, describe the qualities of marital love. It says it's free. It's not afraid of anything. It's full, total, holding nothing back. It's faithful, can be trusted, and it's fruitful. We know how that fruit happens. It happens by becoming like a grain of wheat, dying to oneself, falling to the ground, so that life might come. So this triumph over egotism is at the root of marital love. I've always found it significant, and occasionally mentioned in weddings, that when the bride's coming down the central aisle, as she's making sure she doesn't trip with her high heels, as she's supported by the strong arm of her dad in most cases, as she's looking at down the end of the nave, at her expectant spouse, she seldom mentions that she makes the way of the cross down that central aisle, passing all the stations. She gets married in front of a crucifix. Many times couples want to hold a crucifix as they're actually holding each other, or at least have one blessed by their home. These are all beautiful traditions. Pointing again to the essence of Christian love, which is meant to radiate in Christian marriage, this type of love that gives all. St. Paul, in today's first reading, says that we hold the treasure of God in vessels of clay, in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing power of God may radiate. And he says we are always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus. What is this dying? When we hear that word dying, we think life getting sucked out of us. But Jesus, when he talks about dying, talks about no one has any greater love than to lay down his life for his friends. For Jesus, the process of dying is the process of giving. Giving oneself totally to save the life of another. St. Paul is saying that we're constantly carrying about in our body this type of dying of Jesus, where we say no to our ego and yes to love. And it's through that type of self-giving dying, we could say, truly loving dying, that the life of Jesus is manifested in our body, in which people see in our self-giving love Jesus' risen life radiating through our dying to self. This is the principle of all of Christian life. It's also the principle of Christian marriage. The two people dying to their own egos and truly giving themselves to each other out of love and giving themselves to God out of love can co-create with God. A new disciple made in God's image and likeness, in their own image and likeness. And Paul the Sixth, Humanae Vitae, 50 years ago today, was meant to keep lovemaking loving, to keep Christian marriage truly Christian. So today we thank God for the treasure that he gave us through the earthen vessel of soon to be St. Paul the Sixth. We ask, like St. Paul the Apostle, that all Christian couples may recognize the incredible treasure they have in earthen vessels and share that treasure with each other, so that through their dying to self, the life of Christ may be radiant and the life of new Christians might be brought into existence to praise God forever, we pray, with us and with them. Can you drink the chalice that I am about to drink as we prepare to receive Holy Communion, that same gift of Jesus' self that St. James was present for in the upper room, as he, out of love, was giving his life for us. We pray for the grace to carry about in ourselves this true dying of Jesus, so that Jesus' life, the life that will know no end, will be manifested here and forever. Praise be Jesus Christ.